on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. You just heard Pawpaw Dusty. Man, was that fun last night. That was the best atmosphere for a non-playoff game that I can remember. Even Texans regular season games. Yeah, there's been some big ones. The Baltimore game that they lost in overtime. I mean, the fan base was just nuts. That was a Sunday night game or a Monday night game. I forget whichever one it was. There have been, obviously, you know, I guess big rocket regular season games. I don't know.
But, yeah, there have been big.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
I've been in a building for great, great atmospheres. But look, let's just be honest. We haven't had this because of the pandemic for a long time. But this is
I'm not even talking about pandemic.
No,
this is an all-timer. Last night was an all-timer.
No, that's what I'm saying. This is the second night that everyone's in the building. Well, there were still a lot of empty seats, but there were some empty seats. But everyone's in the building after pandemic, so we're still getting back to like, oh, wow, this feels like normal. Yeah. It's coming off a game where you had your entire city got it pushed in by the Dodgers fan base, walking through streets, mm-hmm. walking through your streets, flipping off everybody, then beating the brakes off your baseball team, and then you come in a revenge game against the most loudmouth pitcher in all of baseball, and really a-hole fans across the stands,
yes.
and to beat them in a game where cheers were so out. So boisterous for every team on every good play.
Yeah, no, it was
unbelievable. We're just watching on TV. I'm like, oh my god, this is playoffs.
Well, I can tell you, being there was a spectacular. It was, and Dodger fan wasn't bad. I mean, they were behind their team. They were cheering. We didn't get any of the. There were some fights in the stands.
Yeah.
There was some ugliness. There's no question about it. And who knows who started, why it happened, whatever the case may be. There was some of that going on. And you knew with the tensions boiling the way where they were, with both sides being as pumped up as they were, that stuff like that was going to happen. Unfortunately, it did. And there was an ugly incident that's going viral now with the video. But as we were going out, we were leaving. We were fist bumping LA fans, you know. I was anyway. It was just a great atmosphere. Just fun standing for big pitches, which, you know, I just wish this, and it's never going to happen here. I wish, you know, in the sixth inning when there's two on and there's a big batter at the plate, it doesn't have to be two strikes where you all stand up. It can be the first pitch where everybody's screaming and everybody's going crazy to help your pitcher. Couldn't tell which pitcher. If you want to know the truth, there were situations last night where both fan bases were standing up, both were screaming. So it was like, I don't know who's getting more pumped up here, especially... I would have vomited blood if Pujols hit homered there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Dude, Brian Abreu set this up to, I was like, why? First of all, why is Brian Abreu in? First of all. Secondly.
That was astonishing. And
I know you got a 3-run lead, but I mean, you
Dusty
can't.
Dusty addressed it. We're going to hear from Dusty later.
Let's hear it from Dusty. I mean, you got to put guys in big situations and let them and see what they do. I get that. I get it. But, man, that was a game that you had to have. That was a game, and you know what? It's a 3-run close situation. Presley hadn't pitched in a couple of days. He's got today off as well. Why you're screwing around, I don't get.
The Abreu train is just not a train that I want to get on. And he's like, yeah, fired up afterwards. Well, and I would be, too.
Yes.
I mean, fired up about almost getting to the point where you could have just had the game tied up.
Yeah.
After leading... by 4 runs, like, hey.
And the pitch, some of the pitches, like...
Stanek, bang.
Yeah, bringing in Stanek.
Listen, it was
After Raley was great, why didn't he bring Raley back for another inning?
Why are we doing this pitching across two innings thing, I thought? Well, we don't do that.
No, yeah, I know, but when your guy looks good, why not
Abreu. Just not Abreu, that is all. Well, it's a W.
Rayleigh looked great in the inning he pitched.
Yeah, he had a good inning. Don't push it.
It was.
You know what's coming the next inning. Don't push it. All I know is the bullpen once again gave up runs, but whatever. I'm here to talk about the Astros winning a game where Carlos Correa, with his home run, you know, and base hit, other than just the home run, it is just who Carlos is. Can look bad. Yeah. I got somebody sending me a direct message. Carlos is playing himself out of any offers, any money. Then he gets a homer. He gets another base knock. Carlos just shows up for big games. He does. And I know we can cherry pick things where he has had bad games or comes up short with men on base or whatever. But when Carlos Correa leaves the Astros, and he is going to leave the Astros, just like George Springer, I am going to remember. Now, George is a little different, but I am going to remember Carlos Correa more for clutch situations in big games than I am for being kind of an average hitter for most of his time that he's been in Houston.
Yeah.
I'm just going to.
Hey, listen, but you're right. He's dead on. When it's a big game, when it's a big situation, dude comes through.
Well, you remember Bagwell and Biggio.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in the back of your mind,
they're the anti-Correa.
They're the anti-clutch guys. Yeah. It's the way it is. How you perform in biggest games.
Well, that's sad. They won a bunch of games.
I'm not saying they did. But that other little piece is always there.
Yeah.
You know what piece is not going to be there for you? Is Carlos Correa choking shortstop who couldn't come up big in big situations.
Yeah.
It's not going to be there for you.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Carlos came up, and he came up big. I mean, against Bauer, are you kidding me? He homers, and that was so electric. Dude steps up in big situations. Then he got another hit as well. When you got to have a hit in a big situation, you're right. I don't know that there's anybody out there right now that you'd rather have. Altuve leading off the game with the homer was spectacular.
Oh my gosh,
that was awesome,
that
especially to shut them up. With their how much they hate Altuve. Why Altuve is the face of this
thing?
Can
you believe that?
I don't believe it.
It's all John Boy.
Yeah.
And Carlos, it's also Carlos Beltran's niece, also known as a private Twitter account from a troll that people ran with, and entire articles were built around and entire videos were built around. Jose Altuve not wanting his shirt taken off because he had a chinch tattoo, and John Boy circling something and retweeting a tweet from somebody who claimed to be Carlos Beltran's niece started all this for Jose Altuve. If you followed any of this, you know that Altuve is said to be one of the guys who least used this approach. He didn't like it. It threw him off. And yet the fan bases boo him as hard as anybody.
Boo
Maybe
him
harder.
I'm looking at a tweet right here. Lance, I'm looking at a tweet. I'm just scrolling through tweets. Here's a tweet. At the Yankee game, Bichette is at the plate, Blue Jays versus Yankees, and the Yankee fans are chanting F. Altuve. It's Blue Jays and Yankees, and they're chanting F. Altuve.
Because Altuve homer must have happened.
To start the game.
Yeah. That's all John Boy.
I mean,
John Boy's videos are what started that.
I know it. I know, with the buzzer. I mean, it's just, you can all F right off. All of you. The Astros, that was so sweet last night. Sweet justice. A team that had been playing poorly, as poorly as the Astros had played over the weekend and then that first game, and for them to step
sweet
up.
Sweet justice. You know what we should call Houston? The Justice League. Like, get a nickname like that going. I just came up with that off the top of my head.
That was nice. I like Lance's riffing here. Hey. He's riffing here. Okay, yeah. So you can stop shaking your head.
What do you mean by sweet justice?
Sweet justice.
Why was it justice last
because
night?
The Astros are the greatest guys. And oh, by the way, they shut up all those Dodger fans and those Yankee fans. Suck it, all of you.
I mean,
F. Altuve while the Blue Jays are playing the Yankees?
Look, if you want to be pissed and get back at teams, understood. That's your right. But I don't know. I mean, justice.
Let's call something justice. How about the Richard Justices, okay? We'll call him Richard Sweet Justice, we can call him, or something.
Mm-hmm, I like it.
You like it?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I mean, there is so many things we can do with this, with the Justice League team.
I would say.
Well, you're not a big DC guy.
It's actually trash. It's actually trash, so I don't know if you want to be
from the other
Justice
cartoon
League.
Company.
No.
He doesn't like that cartoon company.
You just misunderstand, Pongo. You just
misunderstand.
I love Pongo.
It's not that I hate DC. It's just that they make trash stuff. I mean, I wish they would make better stuff because their stories are, would actually be better. It just stinks. That's all. It's not my fault. That's all.
This is
they make
this is cartoon hate.
No, it's okay? Not hate. It's poor quality.
It is.
It's not my fault. Everyone will tell you who's into the cartoons. You say they make a poor quality movie. That's all. I would rather watch Batman if it's good than Iron Man. I don't care about Iron Man.
It's just no,
they don't
stop
do a good
already.
Job. Sorry.
Stop. We're talking about our team
and the Justice League.
Getting revenge.
You don't want to be the Justice League.
Well, because they got justice, as John said.
How about the sweet revenge tour we're on? The sweet revenge.
What?
For all of those you haters won, and idiots, those hypocrites
you
out
won
there.
One game. Yeah. Is it a tour yet?
Oh,
for
yeah,
now?
It's a tour.
For now.
It's a tour. It's tour touring Minute Maid Park, and now guess who's catching it? The Padres.
Padres, what do the Padres have to do with it?
The Padres are going to catch it, too. That's right, sweet revenge.
Yep.
That's right, that's what
they're doing. Oh, you're on the West Coast?
For what?
Okay. You just have
Sterling
to be on the
Hitchcock?
West Coast now.
Who's
or East Coast. West Coast,
is it revenge for a mid-90s series that they got over on you?
Yeah, screw
for Kevin
them.
Brown,
I still
I
haven't
guess?
Forgotten them.
Okay. Yeah,
oh, Kevin Brown,
90.
The cheater, the steroid user. The steroid Kevin
yeah,
Brown,
98,
who came through 100 pitches and then came back 2 days, 1 day later with 1 day off and threw another 100. Okay, yeah, you don't think he was cheating? Okay, yeah. So I'm sorry. Now they're catching it. Now they're catching the wrath of Altuve.
Okay,
yeah, yeah,
and the wrath of Correa.
Yeah, and Correa. No, you watch.
I wish the Dodgers were here longer.
I know,
so they could just keep taking L's.
One more game. It would be sweet if we had
just one more. Just keep taking it.
If we had a rubber game, then they would take it.
Ooh, they might have to.
They would take,
yeah, I oh, don't yeah. want to ruin it now, but they might have to face a new rookie pitcher because the Astros have a brand new pitcher on the line in the lineup because they lost another one.
Because another one that we didn't expect to go away.
And another one. And when we come back, we'll tell you about.
We'll tell you well,
why there's
more
a new
news.
Skeeter.
More news out of our team.
Why there's a new Skeeter on the team.
But right now, we're talking about GimmeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. It's Thursday morning already. I love when we head toward the weekend and we're talking about John Clay Wolf because he does Saturday mornings right here on ESPN 97.5 if you haven't heard his show. It's something. They talk about different things that are interesting. Some of the things that they talk about are very, very interesting. But if you're looking for the best way to sell your car, there's one way to go, and that's John Clay Wolf, and it's GiveMeTheVin.com. You go to GiveMeTheVin.com, and in literally 15, 20 seconds, you've got a quote for how much your car is worth. Now, you call them. You got to send them pictures. Oh, wow, that thing's pretty beat up. We got dings here, there. Frankie set the record with 68 different dings. 68 different things that were wrong with her car when they broke it down. But you know what? John Clay Wolf said, I said I was going to give him this, so I gave him that. Now, you know what? You don't want to get over on him like I did, but here's the deal, because he's going to go broke and he won't be able to buy anybody's car. But here's the deal is if you're looking to sell your car for the most money that you can possibly get, it's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Just another win. Another win in the season. A lot of people have said a lot, and that don't mean we go out there every single day and trying to win because of what they said. It don't mean much to us. So we just go out there, try to win games day in and day out.
That's it.
It doesn't mean much, you know.
Damn, Granado sounds like he's about to faint. He's so excited about the Astros.
Yeah,
calm
so
down,
what?
John. So what? Yeah,
so,
yeah
what?
So what, Lamont? I'm excited about our team kicking
Lamont,
ass. You know what? They came into our house.
They made
and
beat
they,
up one
and
guy
they were
in
doing
stands.
Stuff to us on the kitchen table. And you know what? We turned around and gave him an ass-whooping like that guy in the stands did with that Dodger. Did you
yeah,
see?
Yeah, we didn't win that one.
No, we didn't. We lost that fight. Wow.
I saw another longer version of
but
it.
But we turned that around, and then you know what? They had to watch us do stuff. That's right.
They watched us do stuff with their own wives?
That's right. They brought their wives along,
no,
raiding our house on a home invasion. And guess what we did?
What are you saying?
I'm not sure what I'm saying. All I know is a little sweet revenge. The sweet revenge tour. Thank you, Carlos Correa. That was Carlos Correa last night after he homered. What?
This kid got punched in the head probably 12 times.
And he got his ass kicked. Wow. And then the woman is in there. She's throwing haymakers.
And the little girl, you see from a different angle, a little girl's crying. Good job, Dad.
That makes little girls cry when you're watching your dad get your ass kicked.
No, it was the other guy.
Oh, the other girl,
the Dodger girl. She's sitting on her chair crying. She's about 3 years old.
That's what Dodger fans do, little girl. Get used to it. Your dad's a punk.
Your dad's going to be in jail at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, someone was a punk in that fight.
Doesn't mean he ain't an a-hole.
I mean, it wasn't even... He clipped two guys.
Yeah, he did.
Like, this is not even...
That was a bad fight.
All I can hope for
that was a bad fight. We lost that battle, but we won the war. Okay?
I'm sure he didn't start
anything. We split.
I'm sure he didn't start anything.
You know what? We won the war. We split.
Yeah.
That was not...
You didn't win that battle.
The way that they were playing and the way that they ended up playing last night...
Some guy goes, I blame Johnny Lynch for this. I said, then give us credit for the win.
No, we ain't getting no credit. That was awesome. That was just awesome.
Hey, Garcia, how about Garcia? And you thought Garcia would outpitch Bauer.
Didn't I?
Garcia got a quality start. He made six innings.
Six innings. And how about if he catches the ball? What a play. Our pitchers suck at fielding.
Get off the mound,
Grinke
Garcia.
Is a gold glove every year pitcher. And maybe he can teach these, if he wasn't so weird, maybe he would teach these guys something.
How about Tim Kirkjian also brought up, he had to bring up Greg Maddux. I mean, he didn't pitch for years. Like, this is why pitchers like Greg Maddux put so much effort and time into being gold glove defenders, because the ability to get off the mound is something that really helped not only themselves, but also their team. And of course, a run scored after that.
Yeah, well, yeah. How about six? No earned runs, six innings. His ERA is down to 2.93. Luis Garcia has been a godsend. Luis Garcia has been awesome for this team. When you had to, now you lose Lance McCullers now to shoulder soreness, if you hadn't heard.
Yeah, let's go back to that. So Lance McCullers is out. Who's the new pitcher?
What do you mean the new pitcher?
The guy who came up.
I don't care because Fromber's coming back, Odorizzi's coming back, and guess what? By Monday,
when are they coming back?
So is this weekend.
Oh, is it this weekend?
Yeah,
they are for sure.
Yeah.
Are you sure Odorizzi is?
Yeah, both of them.
I don't care.
And third, so is my boy Urquidy. He's coming back for the series for the Red Sox series Monday.
Wow.
What?
Wow, that's a whole different team.
Don't sleep on
Ralph Garza Jr. because we got this from Steve Grand yesterday. He said, please take note, the Astros have officially selected Ralph Garza Jr. to the Major League roster. He takes the roster spot of Lance McCullers.
Selected?
I'd never heard that. He takes the place of Lance McCullers Jr., who was placed on the 10-day IL with right shoulder soreness, retro to May 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
So it's retroactive. To make room for Garza on the 40-man roster, the Astros transferred Josh James to the 60-day IL. So Josh ain't coming back anytime soon. And for Lance, this just means he's going to miss a start, hopefully, just one start. But Ralph Garza, if you are in the mood to get a new Astros jersey, you're feeling a little excited after the game last night, make sure you keep your eyes on the Garza Jr. jersey that's going to be popping up at Astros games.
So how about this? Christian Javier moves to the bullpen, and Luis Garcia stays in the rotation, which is probably because... You don't know. I think they probably just aren't sure about where Garcia lands, whether or not. I mean, you know, Javier is a guy that you can get 2-3 innings out of the bullpen. He's had that before. Luis Garcia, I'm not going to speculate, but I would imagine has been a starter at the minor league level and now here at the major league level. He has had some bullpens. I don't got to take a look at his career stats, but. Hey, it's Javier first to the bullpen, not Garcia.
No, but we talked about Javier is the better we know he can pitch. Javier, in this case, may help fix a bullpen issue. Not fix it, but make it a lot better. If Javier can pitch two times a week instead of one time, it might be a better thing for the Astros. Yeah. Typically, I just want my best starter. Javier is one of your best starters. Typically, you want one of your best five in a rotation.
Well,
for this particular bullpen, he's probably more valuable chomping up two or three innings and keeping guys like Abreu and maybe even Stanek off the field.
Yeah, man, Stanek, holy crap.
Another home run.
Abreu, wow. It is just so – and now Emmanuel's hurt, so that's a bad thing. We'll see when possibly Taylor is going to be able to come back. There is. We'll see whether or not that can happen. As far as, he's been in the bullpen before. He pitched 5 games last year for the Astros, started just 1, so he had 4 outings in the bullpen. This year, he's had 8 starts out of 10 appearances, so he came in. He's already come in a couple of times, Luis Garcia, from the bullpen. You know, he's going to be the odd man out when McCullers comes back. But you know what? What a great job. What a battle it was. 100 pitches through 6 innings. I didn't know that he threw him back out there for the 6th.
Yeah.
You know, he had 93 pitches.
Most pitches in his career and the most innings in his career ever was yesterday.
And a quality start.
And a QS.
How about that?
The rare QS, his first of the year.
Yeah. So just what a great job. What a great job by Luis Garcia. What a great job by the offense stepping up against a really tough pitcher. I'm telling you, it was so much fun. The intensity, it was just a great play. That was one of the best regular season games I've ever been at any sport. That was just so much fun. That was just so great. So congratulations to the Astros for bouncing back and winning that game against the tough. Listen, the odds were against them. Bauer was the favorite. He's been spectacular, and he was good again last night. He just gave up the 2 bombs. That was it.
I mean, he looked good. He was biting on the lower part. He missed a pitch to Altuve. Altuve went yard because if you mess around and miss with Altuve,
with that buzzer, yeah.
When they're buzzing him like they buzz, because, you know, Yankees are right. Altuve's just had buzzers all over him for most of the time.
I don't know why Frankie is. You know, does Frankie know what time I do a show in the morning or not? My daughter.
What does she want?
Is that Frankie?
Yeah, that's Frankie.
Oh, it doesn't even look like Frankie.
Yeah.
She just sent you a picture.
She's a woman.
She's calling. Frankie's just calling.
Oh, she called you.
Yeah, she's calling me right now.
Yeah, Frankie's all grossed out. I thought, John, I'm like, hey, why do you have a picture of another girl with
a woman? That's my daughter.
With your daughter. Oh, that's Frankie. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see her behind a car with like steam coming out of the engine where she had hit him.
That should be her picture that pops up is a car that's all mangled.
I mean, you know, Chris Ballard has a picture of and I don't watch Family Guy, but he has, who's the guy that goes, hey, you know, who's the dad? I don't know. What are their
Peter
names?
Griffin?
Yeah. He has Peter Griffin on the ground holding his foot.
Holding his
that's what pops up is his face. That pops up on his phone.
You got hurt. That's what he knows you as.
And he took a picture of me with my boot on.
I said, Frankie, I'm doing the show. What's up? She said, I was just walking to work and I wanted to say hi.
Oh, that's nice.
How about that?
What? Also, can you give me your Hulu information?
No, it's her Hulu, actually. She stole it from somebody and we got that. 713-780-3776. Let's get John in here. He wants to talk about the Dodger fan fight. What do you say, John?
First of all, those 2 Astro fans should be just disqualified and never allowed to enter the stadium again, if that's how they're going to represent Houston. But if you look at the whole video, the Dodger fan didn't come out unscathed. The one guy that took about 14 hits to the head and was laying on the ground, the guy with the backwards hat, though, at the very end, nails the Dodger fan right in the button with a right hook or the right
face.
And that Dodger fan backed up about 5 feet and didn't throw another punch after that.
Well, I've got ours
cuts off.
I've got a longer
video. You got a longer one?
Yeah, because
I haven't seen the long version.
Dusty's friend took a
video. I haven't seen the extended version.
There's 3 angles. There's 3 angles of it.
You got the director's cut?
There are 3 angles. I got the director's cut. The guy who gets
hit. The unedited version.
So the guy who gets hit first is the one. The other guy tries to step in as peacemaker, and he's the one who gets punched in the head 12 times.
Oh, yeah. Right, boom, 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 boom. Oh, now a left hook to the face. Oh, boom, boom, boom. Another shot. This is awesome. Oh, but then that dude that got hit in the face falls backwards.
He took a lot more punishment than your video shows.
Yeah, it was a lot.
But what happened was the guy that got hit all the times, he at first tried to come in as a peacemaker. Dodger fan wasn't having it and just clipped him with the right. I got to tell you, man, that guy was throwing some right. It looked like old school Vinny Pazienza with the little mustache and everything.
Yeah.
He's got his little Vinny Pazienza haircut.
Boy, that girl is trying to. Oh, man, he got hit in the face. They got dude with the backwards hat that got hit in the face a bunch of times. His girlfriend's like, oh, sorry, bro.
Oh, my God. You got blood.
Now you're going to be. Guess what? You're going to be a meme now. Guess what? You just turned into a GIF or a GIF, whatever there.
GIF or GIF.
Yeah, because the Padre dude, that is now a GIF. The Padre dude that walked up in the outfield and just punched one punch.
Yeah, he did get clipped by a little right hand. He was John's right, but
yeah. But
how do other Astros fans not jump on that Dodger fan and just bludgeon him to mm-hmm. make him come?
713-780-3776.
He's lucky he got in that particular section because there's a couple sections where it's rough Astros fans. Now, if it was Texans.
Yeah, I don't know. That Dodger fan probably said something stupid, and he deserved an ass kicking, and it just didn't go well. That's all.
He didn't
turn out all that well. 728 ESPN 97.5. What about the Rockets and running, Lance?
How about this is a virtual
run, Rocket Run.
So the Rocket Run, this has been going on for years. I've talked about it for years. Really cool. I'm gonna do the because I ain't running, but I'll let my wife do it, and my daughter also wants to go with me. She said, and we're gonna go. All do that together, and that's something that you can do to raise money. It's great, and the Rockets Run is virtual this year. Registration is now open for the Houston Rockets Virtual Run. It benefits Children's Memorial Hermann. That's why Mahdi really wants to be in on this. You can run or walk a 5K or a 10K or kids a 1K if you want to do that, although I think my daughter's going to go 5K with me, at your own preferred time, place, and pace by June 6th for a chance to win prizes. All participants will receive a Rockets Run t-shirt, a race bib, race medal, and mesh bag. So listen, if you're going to go out and run anyway, if you're going to go out and walk anyway, why don't you do it here where you can benefit Children's Memorial Hermann and get some really cool stuff in the meantime. Let's get out and let's run in this year's Rocket Virtual Run to support Children's Memorial Hermann. For more information and to register, simply go to rockets.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Why didn't you tell us when the commercial's over,
back,
though?
Welcome back, guys. Welcome back here.
Why don't you give us a heads up?
You mean, you know how there's audio and the headphones and the music
starts?
I was watching Bryson
DeChambeau hit a shot, and the guy was calling him Brooksy. And DeChambeau says, whoever's calling me Brooksy needs to get out of here. And Koepka tweeted that out. And Bryson DeChambeau came back with, it's nice to be living rent-free in your head.
Well, it's because Koepka added Aaron Rodgers and said, sorry, bro.
Sorry, bro. So, if you haven't heard, Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson are going to take on Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers. So, Brooks Koepka tweeted Aaron Rodgers and said, sorry, bro. But Tom Brady, get this. Tom Brady tweeted out the picture of Bryson DeChambeau walking behind Brooks Koepka. And Tom Brady tweeted out, Bryson, happy to be here. And with Brooks Koepka closing his eyes and just being disgusted, he says, Aaron realizing he has to spend the whole day with Bryson. Wow, Brady is leaning into this thing. And then Bryson DeChambeau came back with Tom Brady holding a deflated football.
I'm telling you.
And he said, Tom Brady, once Aaron Rodgers and I take you down, you and Phil Mickelson down, you will feel just as deflated as those balls were in the AFC Championship game.
Bryson's got a little Trevor Bauer.
Yes. That's why I said they're the same guy.
They're the same guy.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a while.
Bryson, him, and somebody else said, and Jay Cutler.
And, well.
Yeah, but Jay doesn't.
Jay doesn't have that.
You just are putting D-bag on.
And, oh, by the way. No, these guys are technical. Did you see before the game what Trevor Bauer was doing? He's got this stick that he does all kinds of stuff with. And then he throws from right field all the way to left field, which no other pitcher. Now, they
it's just long toss.
Long toss. Yeah. But no, this isn't long toss. This is holy crap.
Well, so he does come off as kind of D-baggy in that regard, too, but he gets results, so it's hard to say.
And they say
he's clicked up his spin rate velocity by 200 revolutions a minute or whatever it is. They were talking about how he's made all these changes. But, yeah, he's not a he's a loser as far as I'm concerned. Obviously, Bauer is technically he's a loser, and I'm not trying to make a personal commentary on the person. I'm just trying to be accurate. That's all I'm trying to be is accurate.
You loser because he lost last night?
Yeah, that makes him a loser. Today, he spends today as a loser.
Okay.
And if you say it like that, he is a loser. Then
what?
It's technically accurate.
Wait a minute.
I'm just going for accuracy. Trevor Bauer is a loser.
Oh, well, he lost last night. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a big-time loser. And all I'm saying is I'm just speaking to what happened in the game last night. He got beat. He lost, which makes him a loser.
So
all today, he is a big-ass
loser.
He
just holds a giant L until his next start. He's a loser until his next start.
Yeah, I mean, he can. I mean, he's still going to be, if that starts not against it. Well, I don't know. For the Astros fans, they may consider him a loser until he beats the Astros, which isn't going to be his next start. So maybe he just continues to be a gigantic loser. From the standpoint of what happened in the game yesterday, he got beat.
So
it's not personal, yeah, obviously.
So a little bit. So did you see yesterday? Listen, maybe there is something to this. Did you see Joe West? He confiscated the hat of the Cardinals pitcher.
Yeah, and that manager went ballistic.
The manager went ballistic, and he got thrown out of the game. You know, that's Joe West being Joe West. But you know, maybe there is some. Maybe they're going to stop. Maybe Kershaw, the next time you take a look at his hat, when he turns around, you can see all the foreign substance on his hat. Now, I'm not sure that I want this. I'm not sure. Remember when AJ was like, hey, let's just not talk about this stuff.
Well, because
Boston.
Well, AJ had Verlander and Garrett Cole. Let's not forget, Garrett Cole's not an Astro anymore. AJ had Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole has been a big time grip guy.
Well, because all the fans and there was Twitter and everything else showed that Boston Red Sox pitcher with this goop all over his arm.
Yeah.
And AJ was asked about it and he was like, we don't want to talk.
We're focused on the game.
Let's just talk about the game, guys, because everybody's doing
it. Okay, so where does this pitcher pitch?
Who?
Who does he pitch for?
The Cardinals.
Who does Kershaw pitch for?
Kershaw pitches for the Dodgers.
And Kershaw's, and that's something what you're talking about. He had his hat confiscated as well, right?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, no, no,
wait,
no.
The Dodger pitcher did not.
Did not.
Hold on. But Garrett Cole, all right, I'm mixed up. So Garrett Cole's hat was confiscated. Clayton Kershaw's was, and then the St. Louis Cardinals pitcher, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All three of them had their hats confiscated?
Yeah.
When was Garrett? So Garrett Cole's was confiscated as well?
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
Well, but Kershaw's was.
No, he wasn't.
Okay, well, who's this pitcher from the Cardinals?
This guy's a guy you never heard of, Giovanni Gallegos.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can confiscate his hat.
MLB's cracking down. It's kind of like the NBA cracking down on Chris Stapps, Porzingis.
Look at
you. Get a $50,000 fine because you went to a bar. LeBron, we talked to some people, and it looks like everything's fine. We didn't find anything here. But Porzingis, give us your money. LeBron,
Porzingis? What if they had said, listen, you went to we're going to have to suspend you because this is unacceptable behavior, you going out during COVID.
What you should do if you're I can tell you what the Mavericks should do is we're going to sit out this game.
Yeah.
We're just going to sit out the game.
Cuban would have lost his mind. Yeah. He would have lost his mind. So Jack Flaherty is like the greatest pitcher of all time.
Look at what ESPN's doing. They've got Tim Tebow walking. It's so far away they have to put a spotlight around him, and that's the entire video is Tim Tebow walking.
Yeah.
ESPN, just please let it go.
No,
for the love of God, this slappy announcer who likes to occasionally lift weights is not a tight end that needs entire segments.
So Jack Flaherty is like the greatest pitcher in baseball right now. He's 8-1, and he's got 8 wins already, and we're not even to June yet.
Yeah.
So he's unbelievable. He tweets out Joe West confiscating Gallegos' hat. They're teammates. He pitches for the Cardinals too, and he goes, "What are we doing here?" Well, I'll tell you what we're doing here, Jack. We're shutting you down from your spin rate. You're 8-1 and you're Jack Flaherty. There is a reason you're 8-1 is because you're cheating too. Okay? So we're going to shut that down, Jack Flaherty.
John just throwing Molotovs at Jack Flaherty.
Yeah. Screw Jack Flaherty.
You say, what do you mean? I am cheating, John Granato.
All those other pitchers that aren't Astros that are cheating by spin rate. We know that Strami wouldn't allow that to happen. Apparently Strami doesn't. Brent Strom doesn't even know who's in our bullpen, I don't think. I don't think he's met anyone.
Why are you saying
that? Because we got the greatest pitching coach of all time. We've had unbelievable starters. And our bullpen is just different. I mean, and by that, I mean they suck. So, I don't,
even in games where we win, you got to fade Stanek giving up a home run, Abreu. Abreu, please, Dusty, what is going on? I was so mad at Dusty. I'm like, oh. And then I checked because I'm behind a little bit on the, I was behind a little bit on the game at that time. And I finally went and checked our text strings and you were losing it on Dusty. That's when I, that's when I caught up. Is
oh,
I see behind. Abreu out. I'm like, what is happening here?
The two on with Pujols at the plate. Oh my gosh. Let's get Dan in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Dan.
Hey, kids. How y'all doing this morning?
Man, we're awesome.
I know. It sounds it. I know y'all don't violate, like, the Ronald Reagan, you know, mantra about don't speak ill will about other broadcasters. But overnight, guys with ESPN were basically just saying Carson Wentz is a basket case and he needs mental help. I mean, that's the tone that I got out of it. You know, like Frank Reich is what, going to be a psychiatrist or something?
Well, I mean, let's face it, Carson Wentz sucked last year, didn't he?
He was terrible.
He was terrible. And Frank Reich, Frank Reich was gone. He had his whoopee, Frank Reich, when he was in Philadelphia. Right. Carson Wentz was awesome. So maybe Frank Reich is exactly what he needs, Carson Wentz needs.
Change of attitude, change of latitude, I got it. But, I mean, the way it was portrayed was they were not talking about his stats per se. They were talking about, like, his head. Like, he didn't have his head screwed on right.
Yeah.
Well, and I thought, well, that's kind of brutal.
Well,
was that before or after he got traded? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that crazy to think that Carson Wentz had very little around him the year before and actually did a pretty good job of keeping the Eagles afloat the year before. Last year, he didn't have a lot around him, but he was terrible last year.
I don't
know
about mental health, but I will tell you this, and we appreciate it, Dan. Thanks for listening. I will tell you this. I mean, look at Altuve last year and look at Altuve this year. He was in a bad place. He had some family problems. He had, you know, a death in the family. He had all of the stuff, the weight of the entire investigation and the judicial, the Twitter judicial system about the scandal. He was in a bad place mentally. You know what? When you're in a bad, I remember when I'm not going to name names, but guys going through divorces that, you know, everybody behind the scenes, people don't know about, and it really affects them. I mean, when you're not in a good mental place and you got to play at the highest level, maybe there, I don't know about his mental, about Carson Wentz's mental health, but there is certainly something to, you know, having a great mental attitude going out there every day in and day out, especially when you're playing against the world's greatest athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe Carson Wentz was in a bad place mentally.
Yeah,
maybe he just didn't trust their coordinator, or the coordinator didn't know, you know, how to use Carson Wentz to the best of his, or maybe Carson Wentz just sucked.
Well, that's the biggest concern I have is if you are looking at him as a fantasy football option, or because I'm going to tell you, I swear I believe the Colts are going to get in on Julio Jones, but the guy I saw play last year was terrible. I mean, I thought Carson Wentz was terrible. Now, his protection was not very good. That Eagles offensive line has really taken a backward step, and part of it is due to injury, and part of it is due to, you know, Jason Peters just getting old. But remember now, they're going to get Eric Fisher, but he's not going to come back right away. He's not back until whatever, October. So it will be interesting to see if Carson Wentz, this certainly has, other than inside our own division, I'm interested to see if he can come back just through working with Frank Reich and getting his mind right. There is such a thing as guys, we don't usually see it with quarterbacks, but there is such a thing as guys in sports simply losing their confidence and having to go to sports psychologists or whatever the case may be, or sports psychologists, whatever. I don't know if Carson Wentz did that, but we know Fromber did.
Mm-hmm.
We know Fromber famously did. We know many golfers have done that to get their confidence back, and it's usually like pitchers, it's usually golfers, it's usually guys like that who can be hurt by confidence, relievers. It's not usually basketball players. I don't hear about that. It's not usually quarterbacks.
We saw Paul George last year. He was like, I'm so depressed. You know, I'm only making about, you know, $40 million, and I've got to stay in this bubble.
I don't know if that's what it was about.
Yes. No, because he made less money. They made less money last year because they took an eighth or a tenth of their money away.
He never referenced his salary.
No, I think it was just about the...
He talked about being isolated, but he said he was mentally
he wasn't.
Yeah, he didn't say anything about the money.
No, because he's the struggle that is Paul George.
Yeah, he said the isolation, and then all he could do was like read on social media how terrible he was. It bothered him. Well, I mean, John, you don't seem like an ally for the mental health costs right now.
I am. I'm saying how horrible it is for Paul George.
Let me tell you something, John. Just because you put on that voice, but we can
shut
still
up and dribble, Paul.
We can
tell
still
him.
Hear the words you're saying.
No. Tell Paul to shut up and dribble.
I feel for Paul and his mental health problems.
Tone and the words, we can still hear them.
Well,
it doesn't matter how you say it.
Here's what I feel for. I feel for everybody that isn't going to see Craig DeSerf.
Well, if we're going to talk about Craig DeSerf now we're working with something, okay? Craig DeSerf is he's a guy who is caring, he is considerate, but he's also somebody who says, listen, sales staff, when people come here, we're going to treat them like they are absolute royalty. Every time they drive into the lot or walk onto the lot or whatever they do, we're not going to run out to them, and we're here for them. So if they have questions, we'll answer the questions for them. We can walk them through some of the things that they're looking for. We can answer questions that may help them, point them in the right direction of the type of vehicle that they want. But listen, when it comes to vehicles, they've got the Tahoes, they've got the Chevy Silverados, they've got the GMC Sierra 1500 pickup trucks, they've got GMC Acadias and Chevy Traverse and Buick Enclave. These are the larger crossover vehicles, and they have smaller crossover vehicles as well. Actually, a lot of times we're just calling the crossover vehicles now SUVs, because really that's what they are. They're just a little lowered in terms of the suspension, but you still get the great interior space, and in many cases you get better gas mileage. Just look, whatever you're looking for, they're going to have it. They have a great selection, but what you need to know is that from a price standpoint, a program standpoint, they're going to find the very best prices for you out in Angleton, and their trade-in value is going to be substantially better than pretty much anything you're going to find here in Houston. That means lower prices, and the service is unmatched. Go to Angleton. It's a few extra miles, but it's a few extra $1,000 you're going to save as well when you go to LanceZCars.com for Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, and GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Maybe this is the crescendo for things to come, but can I tell you 100% that all our guys are 100% clean with nothing, you know, other than some sunscreen and some rosin, which the hitters don't mind, by the way, because they want the grip, which is why we don't want the guys getting, you know, hit in various spots with big arms. Hitters don't mind the grip. They don't want the stuff that's making the ball do wiffle ball stuff. And that's the issue at hand here. So you want to police some sunscreen and rosin? Go ahead. Get every single person in this league. Hit by pitches will just continue to go up. Balls will get away. But why don't you start with the guys that are cheating with some stuff that are really impacting the game and impacting how people play this game? And that's the integrity of the game I'll speak up for.
Trevor Bauer.
I really don't care. It's accurate.
Speak on it then. What are you talking about? Are you talking about Garrett Cole? Are you talking about Clayton Kershaw?
Trevor Bauer.
Are you talking about trash cans and buzzards? We make them buzzards. Huh? Y'all trying to ferret out them buzzards?
Well, that was Mike Schilt, who's the manager of the Cardinals, who was thrown out of the game because Joe West was confiscating his pitcher's hat. So then Schilt just went ballistic and said some ugly, ugly things to Joe West.
Well, no, this is... Now,
who's
he pulled
the longest umpire in Major League history.
He pulled the curtain back and a country western star. Well, he pulled the curtain back on the baseball discussion.
Yes.
Which is, baseball players don't mind rosin and sunscreen because that gives better grip and they control it better and pitch and players get hit less or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, so we've heard this multiple times, and it does seem to carry some weight because you would think that major league managers would be going ballistic, except that I think this is a fairly common practice for a lot of pitchers to get grip. He said, but things that make the ball do stuff like a wiffle ball. Listen, any grip is one thing. Anything that helps you pick up your spin rate, that's the wiffle ball stuff. Anything that really elevates, and Major League Baseball supposedly is going after spin rate stuff. So if they are noticing through StatCast or whatever technology they're using that spin rates are becoming unusually high for a pitcher, they should check that out.
Yeah.
That is a performance advantage. A spin rate creates bigger breaks on a pitch, bigger breaking balls, bigger sliders, a bigger, you know, north-south, 12-6. A drop of the ball in the zone, that's a big performance advantage. That needs to be eliminated, too. Don't tell me just about trash cans. You, if you're throwing wiffle balls, that needs to be looked at, too. And that's what he mentioned. So maybe there's baseball's going to have to figure this out themselves on what he said are the bad things and what are the acceptable things.
Well, you and I talked about it. Yeah, we did a sports map video. And we were talking about, you know, this is cheating, too. This is just like you said. And the Astros are guilty of it too. The Astros have been they benefited from it in 2017. You can never the pitchers were using stuff and they're gripping the ball better and they're getting a wiffle ball like effect. They are, but everybody, you know, Trevor Bauer was calling out Gerrit Cole for it when and the Astros pitchers for it. When look at him, look at that guy and what he has done. Listen, I if I was standing in that box, I got to say I was fortunate enough, a buddy of mine gave us tickets, and we were sitting down low last night. Carlos Correa got buzzed last night. There was a fastball that came high and tight, and Carlos, you know, moved away, and the ball came in high and tight.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if it was me, I would not get back in that box because that ball came in at 95, and it was up near my shoulders, and I would have been like, and Carlos just, he didn't, it's not much, but he just got a, you know, a little shake of the head, and it's like, you got to shake that off, and you got to step back in there, and then you got to know that that guy, which is, when we've seen a couple of guys already this year get hit in the face with baseballs, pitchers throw him, and he got hit in the face, and we've seen it a couple of times already. You got to know that that guy is able to throw that pitch and it's going to go where he wants it to go, especially when it's coming off of his hand at 96 miles an hour. So if I'm a batter, I'm with Schilt. I don't care. You can use rosin and you can use sunscreen. But when you start, you know, when you're messing with my paycheck, just like the steroid guy was messing with all the pitchers that were using steroids and the hitters that were using steroids are messing with the check of the guy that they're opposing. It's the same thing with the substances. That pitcher has a big advantage that he shouldn't have over you when you're in the box. Now, you want something that's going to make sure that you can control your pitches? That's fine. I'm with Schilt. I didn't even know what a Mike Schilt was, if you want to know the truth. Mm-mm. I hadn't. You know what? Mike Schilt was the manager of the Cardinals was a big surprise for me.
Yeah, I was like, is that – what's La Russa still – what's younger La Russa doing there? He's got a little La Russa look.
Yeah,
dude. But – But yeah, he's that baseball. I don't know that there's a fight inside of baseball. I think he's just saying, Joe West, what are you doing? We all know you're not playing by our rules. Well, is maybe, what he sounds like he's saying.
Well, I think he was saying, listen, our guys might be cheating. I don't know, but that's great. But let's clean the whole thing up, not just this guy.
That's what
not
he said?
Just the Giovanni Gallegos.
No, but he said there's nothing here. He said there's nothing here. Rosin and sunscreen doesn't matter. Go after the guys that are making. What he was pointing out is this is an acceptable part of baseball.
Yes.
We cheat. Everybody does this. It's not cheating. It's for safety measures. Go after the cheaters,
that's
is
right.
what he said.
That's right. Yeah. Well, but you know what? Joe West has got, if he sees stuff on Gallegos' hat, then he's got to go and see it.
Yeah,
because you got to find out, what it is.
But rosin and sunscreen is not typically
going
to be the thing. That's Clayton weird.
Then the rosin and sunscreen turns black tarish because that's what was on the back of Clayton Kershaw's head.
No, that's
head.
What I'm saying. Rosin and sunscreen. Most guys do rosin and sunscreen on their arm, and they grab that for a lot of times. It's not going to. Now maybe some of it on the front bill, on the back of the hat. Come on, dude. We all know the difference between.
We know what that is.
Sunscreen. By the way, we got a request from. Our buddy Ryan Lachane, a Canadian, said, hey, can we talk about Winnipeg Jets sweeping the Edmonton Oilers? And absolutely. Big goals last night from Yar Finlinson and Pavel Zubov. And then the Canadian Van LeGrew really stood on his head for the Jets Van LeGrew really stood on his head between the pipes, shut down the five hole, shut down the seven hole.
What about the two hole?
And then Pavel Zubov, what he did with that backhander, forget about it.
Pavel Zubov?
Yep.
Oh.
And Yar Finlandson.
Well, yeah, where are they?
He's Russian.
He's Russian?
Finland's Pavel Zubov? Yeah, Finland's in the Swedish.
Is anybody Russian now or something?
Yeah, yeah. There's lots of Russians.
It's Russian still? Yeah. What,
I'm just starting to get into Russians on startups.
Pavel Zubov. I see that as a Russian soccer player.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
This is his brother.
Maybe LeShane was talking about
the Pavel Zubov soccer series.
The seven-game soccer series.
There's a Pavel Zubov in soccer.
Mm-hmm. Well, huh. Yes.
Huh. Well, what do you see?
He hasn't played in a while.
Yar Finlandson?
Do you see Van LeGrew?
No, he was one.
See him as a goalkeeper?
Yar Finlandson was the murderer.
Goaltender?
Yar Finlandson was a murderer in Beartown. That's what you're forgetting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if those guys are actually players on teams.
Okay. All right.
On any hockey.
So, LeShane, congratulations on Winnipeg.
Winnipeg sweeping.
I thought they moved to Phoenix or something.
They did, and then they got a team to move from the United States to Winnipeg.
Which team? Atlanta?
In hockey country.
I think it was Atlanta.
Yes. Was it Atlanta? Yeah. Maybe Jacksonville moved up there?
No, yeah. Jacksonville's never had a hockey team.
They haven't?
No.
Jacksonville hockey.
Jacksonville didn't move up there? Topeka?
Winnipeg.
Did Topeka move up there? No one knows.
Hockey, Topeka, Kansas?
Really knows.
Hockey players are hard people. Like, I was watching some of the Bruins series for a reason, and they are so chippy. When hockey players get mad at each other,
when we come back,
they get really mad at each other.
Listen, when we come back, Del, we gotta play the Islanders play-by-play guy. He is the best.
What does this mean, real quick? Hallibuck was spitting nickels. What does that mean? What does that hockey?
Is that
mean?
A hockey term? Spitting nickels.
Hallibuck was spitting nickels. What does that mean?
His teeth were coming out. Somebody punched him in the face.
What it means?
I don't know.
Chiclets. Who sent that?
Yeah, spitting chicklets. Well, maybe that was it.
He's busy texting you and not making a great chicken sandwich. Oh, great.
Ooh.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Oh, wow.
I can't believe the disrespect you show. A man had a chicken sandwich on his...
Spitting nickels means to be able to do something impossible or astonishing. Standing on your head and spitting nickels dates from the early 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, he was standing on his head.
Yeah, Hallibuck was really doing that. Him and Van LeGrew.
Who knows Hallibuck?
LeShane?
Hallibuck must be the...
Wasn't there a movie about...
Hallibuck must Halle be
Berry.
The...
Halle... Oh. Halle... Oh, it's different than Halle Berry.
When I go... What's his restaurant again?
Riel.
When I go to Riel and I see a chicken sandwich infused with spice as opposed to lathered on with sauce, that'd be spitting nickels.
He's not really a chicken sandwich guy.
That'll be spitting nickels.
He had a buffalo chicken sandwich.
When LeShane makes a chicken sandwich that's infused with spice, that'll be spitting nickels.
Listen, he's still a hockey guy at heart. He's not afraid to come up here and chainsaw you.
All right.
You know what chainsawing is? Is
that the Dodger fan?
Is that restaurant?
He was chainsawing.
Well, I imagine the restaurant can't be that successful considering chicken sandwich, but I'll just take all he's got if he's going to chainsaw me.
All right. 757 ESPN 97.5. You don't want to miss. I'm telling you, I love this guy. This play-by-play guy for the Islanders. We'll play some of that, and we'll get your calls. Brian wants to talk Correa. Who doesn't? Right here on ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!